Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendship, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day. And
we're best friends. How are you, Joss?
I'm okay, slightly nasally. I think I'm coming down with something, but it's fine. I'm going to be okay.
That's my girl.
I'm going to dose it out of me.
Vitamin C, echinacea.
All of that.
You know, whiskey.
All of that with a little vodka. All of it.
Okay. That sounds really healthy. we got a letter today that was very touching and a little frustrating as well.
Yes, yes.
Why don't you go ahead and read that?
I shall. So it says, "Hi, Kristen. I saw on Facebook that it was the princess's birthday, so happy birthday to you too.
Thank you.
Love the podcast and the way you and Joss laugh together. It always makes me laugh too. Here's my friendship problem. It's been weighing on me for 2 years now. In high school, I was great friends with this wonderful, warm, talented girl. Quintessa.
Not her real name.
We slept over each other's houses, went on each other's family vacations. When she got a boyfriend and I didn't, the three of us would still do things together. Then came college. I went to Who Cares University. She went to Harvard. We would get together on breaks and in the summer, and both of us waitressed on the Jersey Shore one memorable summer. Quintessa would call me when she was feeling low, and sometimes I'd go visit her. We planned on living in California together after college. Neither of us wanted to go to grad school right away. This was in the 70s when a college degree was still special, especially if you were a woman. It was easy to walk into a middle management job. All through college, this was the plan. Should we go to Southern California for the weather and entertainment industry or San Francisco, where all the free love and drugs were? We picked San Francisco. I got a job out there before she did, told her, and she said she was so excited. She was only interviewing in San Francisco. I got a 2-bedroom apartment for us. Quintessa was thrilled. She said she'd be out for an interview in 3 weeks and would stay with me and start to get settled. She came. She got offered the job. We went out to dinner to celebrate. She said she'd fly back east, get her things, and come out in 2 weeks. She would call me with the date and flight time. 2 weeks passed. She didn't call. I called her. She didn't call back. I wrote to her. This is in ancient times before email. I called her parents, worried that something horrible had happened, and they told me, awkwardly and almost in a whisper, that she was working in New York City. Long story short, Quintessa finally took my call. I asked what happened, and she said she just decided California wasn't for her. Didn't know how to tell me. I forgave her, which, given that I was stuck with a 2-bedroom I couldn't really afford, was big of me. We got together when I went home, but I noticed that when we did, there were all these new people there, new friends from her new job. Talk seemed to center around the job, their bosses, life in New York City, essentially forcing me to nod and smile because I could add nothing to the conversation. This was the way for a few years. I finally asked if we could get together, just us two. It had been too long. Remember, we were childhood friends. We had an irreplaceable history, unmarred by anything ugly. We never had a crossword between us. So we got together at a restaurant in the city, and guess what? She brought all her work friends with her. 9 of them. Jeez. One of me. That was the last time I saw Quintessa. She never called me. I'd see her parents sometimes when I was visiting home, and you could tell they were embarrassed. They had been really fond of me. I went to her mom's funeral. That was the last time I saw her, ever. 2 years ago, a second marriage brought me to New York. I now live in Brooklyn. Last I knew, so did Quintessa. That was God knows how long ago, so of course she may have moved, but I feel haunted, like at any moment I might run into her. Once I thought I spotted her at the corner market and felt utterly terrified that I was going to see her again. Why am I still so sad about this? I'm 66 years old. I should be over it. signed the old wound.
Oh, I felt so bad. You know,
it's really sad. It really
shows you the impact we women have on each other. Don't you think?
40 years.
Yeah.
40 years. I mean, she opens her letter saying that this has been weighing on her for 2 years, but that's not true. It's been 40 years that this has been bugging her.
I mean, all the detail in this shows that it was a horrible experience for her.
Correct.
And I have a few thoughts on it. One thing is that I think that Quintessa was a user, and you were useful to her in high school and in college and after for a little while, and then you just ceased to be. And although you didn't know it, she only liked you because what you could do for her. This letter, old wound, you never say what she did for you and why she was a good friend to you. You go to her college, you hang out with her boyfriend, you go first and get the apartment, assuming she's coming with you. And then she got a better job offer, and she didn't even bother to tell you. So I think Quintessa is kind of a bitch. What do you think, Joss?
I have to agree. I'm sorry. I mean, from the first, when you said you were making all these plans to go out to California, old wound, and that you did all the work, as Kristen said, you went out there, you found an apartment, you found a job. I think she was absolutely using you as like, oh, this is a place I can stay while I'm sussing out the prospect that I have in California. But I think she knew all along that she was like looking for a job in New York, and she was going to take that job in New York.
Yeah.
I don't think she like decided spur of the moment. I think she was fielding different offers or looking for different jobs all over the place. So
yeah,
I do think Quintessa took you for granted, probably always did, because you were, as you said, childhood friends. It's very easy to take for granted someone you've known your entire life. Think about your family members and the people that you like. For example, you know, when I need money, I just ask my brother. He's old and rich, and I'm sure it won't bother him. And
I want an old, rich brother now.
And, you know, I take it for granted that it might make him feel awkward or it might be inappropriate. I don't care. He's my older brother. He owes me this money.
Yes.
That's my feeling. But you see how that dynamic can be created just from knowing someone all your life.
Right.
And so I feel like that's how Quintessa thought of you. She just completely took you for granted. And actually, I have a feeling that when she unceremoniously dumped you and wouldn't return your phone calls, that it was probably her parents who were saying, will you please call old wound back and let her know what is going on? Because she probably would have let you flail in the wind.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that the fact that when you did see her and she had all these new friends with the new job and the new city, she was telling you loud and clear, I'm just not that into you. And you...
Oh, big time.
Baby,
big time.
Old wound, you just didn't get the memo. And, you know, I related to this, Joss, because I had a similar experience with a childhood friend where I just kept thinking, she can't not want to be friends anymore. We've never had a bad relationship. We've always been good friends. And then, you know, as the years passed and her behavior showed that she didn't want to sustain our friendship anymore, mm-hmm. I started to look back and see that I was a good friend and maybe she wasn't.
Right.
You know, that a lot of our friendship was me happily doing for her when it was convenient for her, glad right. to.
Mm-hmm.
And when I needed some reciprocity, it wasn't there.
Right.
Which brings me to the other thing I wanted to say. It doesn't take away from those childhood memories.
That's so true. Oh, yeah. You know, that's so true.
You get to keep those, and you get to remember them fondly. And, oh, this was the time that Quintessa and I, you know, rode our bikes to the ice cream stand and laughed so hard. And
yes,
it doesn't invalidate them. It's just that as hard as it might be, she outgrew you before you outgrew her.
Right, and probably didn't have the tools to tell you graciously that this is what was happening. But I think what's important right now is that this has been 40 years that this has been weighing on you. And you are now in Brooklyn with your second husband, and you're still thinking about this. It's still sort of paralyzing you. And what should you do about that right now? I'm thinking you have to live your life. It doesn't matter if Quintessa is around the corner. If she is, have some scripts handy in your back pocket of what you might say if you're going to run into her, which is really only going to be, "Hi, how are you? It's been so long. How have you been?"
Yeah.
She has had her life. You have had your life full of joys and successes and failures and whatever. And it's that friendship that happened so long ago should not be impacting all of that.
Yeah.
These last 40 years. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's such a great piece of advice to have the script. Chances are she doesn't live around the corner from you. But to be able to think, in case I do run in with her, into her, here's what I'll say. Mm-hmm. And it'll be pleasant and brief. And also,
right,
if there's any, "Hey, we should get together" from Quintessa, what's that term? Mm-hmm. Breadcrumb her. Say, "Oh, mm-hmm. that would be nice. That would be nice. Things are really busy right now, but mm-hmm. great to see mm-hmm. you." Because even though you might mm-hmm. be tempted to say, "Well, we were friends when we were 12. You know, why can't we be friends now that we're 66? Mm-hmm. She showed you why.
Mm-hmm.
So don't fall for that. Don't be suckered into that. And, you know, maybe I'm just extrapolating, but maybe she feels guilty. Maybe she wanted to apologize and never figured out how to do that. You know what? It's been 40 years.
Right.
It's time to just let that go. And I do understand that feeling of terror when you run into someone you're not prepared to. You know, you get flushed and you have that fight or flight response. But preparing yourself mentally for it and just saying, "You know, I've given Quintessa a big part of my brain and time over the years and my heart."
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I'm done with that now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think it's entirely possible that you and Quintessa are probably not even compatible anymore. It's been 40 years. You've grown up. You've had a full life. You've had a second marriage. You've moved. You've done all these things. You lived in California for a while, I assume. So it's entirely possible that you would have grown apart anyway, even if she had moved with you to San Francisco, and that you really aren't that compatible.
Yeah.
So
I think we have this idea that, you can rectify the past, or the myth, we've talked about this before, Joss, the myth of closure.
Yes.
That we're just going to have that conversation that will explain everything.
Right.
And that also reminds me of a time I was friends with this guy in college. I had a really lovely group of male friends. And then one of them just dropped me.
Oh.
And we had been super close. Like, I figured he would be my children's godfather. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing ever romantic between us. Just really good friends. Mm-hmm. And then the term didn't exist then, but he breadcrumbed me, you know, I'd call him and he'd say, "Oh, I'm just walking out the door. I'll call you later." And I finally wrote him this heartfelt birthday card and said, "I just don't understand why you're not, talking to me anymore."
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't respond.
Yeah.
And then shortly thereafter, my dad died. And it was tragic and horrible. And all my other friends from that group mm-hmm. came and sent cards and, you know, were wonderful, except him. And they even said, like, "Dude, you have to call her. Her father died. We knew him. We spent time at Kristen's house, blah, blah, blah."
Right, right.
He didn't. So fast forward, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, and we saw each other at a wedding of a mutual friend. And it just so happened that we were at the bar at the same time getting drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise. And I said, hey, do you mind if I ask what happened between us that you dropped me as a friend?
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, and it was incredibly unsatisfying.
Oh.
It was, my wife didn't like you. You know, basically we had too close a friendship for her comfort. So I dumped you.
Wow.
And I said, well, you could have told me. I would have understood that. You know, I wouldn't expect you to choose a friend over your spouse. Future wife. But then he said, so maybe if you could apologize to her, we could be friends again.
For what? For what?
I don't know. For being myself.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, yeah, no.
No.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, years later, I get he posts on my Facebook page. Now I'm a successful author and blah, blah, blah. And he writes something about how helpful I was to him in college when it came to writing papers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, you don't get to jump back on my Facebook page.
No.
After 30 years of ignoring me, you know, and dumping me. So I ended up blocking him. And it felt really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did see each other again at a friend's funeral, and we were very pleasant. Good to see you. Here's pictures of my kids. Here's pictures of your kids.
Right.
And I really have no ill will toward him. I think he handled it really badly.
Yeah.
But the fact that he handled it badly made it impossible for us to be friends. You know,
right.
He couldn't say either, look, I have to be honest with you.
Right.
And I'm going to end our friendship, or even to say to his then girlfriend, oh, we've been friends for a long time. And you need to get over it.
Right. Right.
You know, but what he did was cowardly.
It's so true. And what I find interesting about that story is he had a bunch of chances to make it up. Like he saw you again and again and again and still handled it badly every other time. Handled it really badly. Yeah.
Right. So there's this idea floating out there that I had too of if only I knew, then I could have some peace of mind about this. And it just doesn't happen. And I've heard, so many of us long for closure.
Right.
Why did you break up with me so abruptly? Why wasn't I invited to your wedding? And you think that, I always say, this is my phrase, one honest conversation. That's all I need.
Right.
You're never going to get it.
No.
You're never going to get it.
Or it's never going to satisfy you. That, you know,
right.
It's never going to be the
way you want.
Right.
Exactly.
And it's never ever going to be. Then you explain yourself and they finally understand and you both apologize and fall into each other's arms. That's not a thing.
Right. And especially in old wounds case, because it's been 40 years.
Right.
And so one good conversation will not erase 40 years worth of ghosting.
Right.
So prepare that line just in case she is in your neighborhood, and give your permission to get over it and make room for better friends.
Indeed. Brooklyn is fabulous. There's so much, so many better things you could be doing there.
So much, farm to table sheep cheese.
That yes.
You could be enjoying.
Yes.
So Joss, I know that 2019 is the year of dignity, grace, and elegance.
Yes, it is. In fact, it is.
I'm sorry, I fell off the wagon.
I'm so disappointed in you, Kristen. Honestly,
it happened so fast. I think I had 20 days of grace, dignity, and grace. But that, which is a record for me. There I was, Joss, going to the doctor because I need surgery on my foot. to release tendons that are making my toes curl in ways that human really shouldn't be. I could climb a tree so fast. That's all I'm going to say. I'm like a critter or something. Like a raccoon. So anyway, I have to get some tendons released. And so I forgot about my doctor's appointment until half an hour before. And so I hadn't shaved my legs, you know, because it's winter and who does that?
Right. No one. Right.
People do that. If you shave your legs in the winter, what's... anyway.
Yeah.
So I was horrified and I thought, oh my gosh, this doctor's really attractive.
Right.
He's half Canadian, half Nigerian.
Ooh.
He has this like magical accent of, I can't quite place it, but it's dead sexy, you know?
Right.
And, so I shaved my ankles. I thought I'll do what I call the Econo shave. And I'll just shave the part that he sees. Now I went to Catholic school and this was a thing. We had our knee socks and then we had our skirts.
Right.
And so we would shave, you know, like 8 inches of leg. That was all you needed to do. So I was all set and I had presented, let's call him Dr. A, with my feet, which I had been sanding down with like a power sander and slathering with Vaseline every night
in preparation.
You know,
Kristen, can I just ask? I know you have said in the past that you're quite hairy.
Yes.
And so
the gorilla baby.
The little gorilla baby. And with now with your feet curling that way and you climbing trees, it's more true than ever.
My mother called it from the very beginning.
But so I just want to get a picture. You shaved the ankles. What did the calves look like? What did the calves look like?
Dark. They looked dark. Dusky. Against my brie-colored skin, which hasn't seen the sunlight, you know, in 8 months. And even when it does, you know. So I was fine, and I was very proud of my smooth, velvety hooves. And so I presented them to Dr. A, and he looked at them and, you know, super handsome. And he said, let me just check your Achilles tendon.
Uh-huh.
Pull up your leggings.
Uh-huh.
A bit. Uh-huh. So I pulled them up like a millimeter. And then he said, no, the Achilles tendon actually goes quite far. And so he pulls them up. Uh-huh. And there it is. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. My unshaven leg, unshaven since, I don't know, Christmas, you know? and all the flaky white skin that my people
that happens.
Are proud of.
Yes,
my
happens.
People are known for this, you know.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he paused for a minute, but very, very bravely soldiered on. Saying nothing. So now, you know, when I go to surgery, I am going to have everything waxed.
Yeah, you got to have a full body wax.
I'm just going to say,
just
like,
do it.
From the eyebrows down, wax me.
Do it all.
Because I have a really handsome doctor. Hey folks, feel free to share your embarrassing personal problems. We love them.
We
delight
do.
In them.
We absolutely
so good to
do.
Know that I am not alone, although Joss is so poised, elegant, and graceful this year. It's like I barely know you.
It's the one New Year's resolution I've been able to keep. The one. The only one.
Stop drinking. Lasted a half an hour. Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends
forever.